And this is Ohio Exo Politics with your host, Mark Snyder. And I'm talking to Jake Morfonius. Jake, did I pronounce your name correctly?
You sure did, Mark.
I'm glad to do that because sometimes I screw up my guests' names a lot. Let me pull in Solaris Blue Raven. She's going to be helping out a little bit on co-host-wise. Let me see if that'll work. And we are recording. Now, Solaris is a radio show host as well. She's also an author. She's written two or three books. Solaris, are you there?
Yay.
Oh, welcome to the show. This is Jake from the End Times Report. He's a very interesting fellow. I wanted you two to meet. I thought he would probably also work on your show pretty well. Jake has a great YouTube channel. It's called, the End Times News Report. And what's so great about Jake is that he's one of the few people around that still applies common sense to things that are going on in this insane world. He's more honest than politically correct, which is very refreshing. Jake, welcome back to the show. How you been?
Hey, I've been doing great, Mark, trying to stay busy and just love the chance to talk about this stuff.
Well, a couple big events that I guess they're getting a little bit of coverage, but to me, they're huge. One of these things is the arrest of this gay priest in the Vatican. His name is Monsignor Luigi Caputo, who frequently hosted these cocaine-fueled homosexual orgies in a building right next to St. Peter's Basilica. And I guess the police finally cracked down on him. And I don't know if you knew this, but this priest had used so much cocaine at this party, he had to be hospitalized. And I just kind of wanted to get your opinion on this and you know, where's all this going and what, I mean, the world's gone insane, right? What's going on here?
It's such a shocking thing. It's shocking not just that it happened, but that the Catholic hierarchy isn't taking substantive action to deal with this problem. So for those who are new to the story, what happened was just recently, the Vatican police, they were basically called to go take a look at a party that was going on. This is back in June. Neighbors were complaining about some unusual behavior that they were seeing. They were seeing these visitors going to this particular apartment late at night. And what's unique about this apartment is that this is where the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, that's the organization that reviews appeals from the accusations of pedophilia and things like that against the church, against the clergy. So it's at that apartment. The occupant there, the police go to check it out, and what they find going on is this drug-fueled gay sex party. And this is at the apartment of a top priest there in the Vatican. And like you said, this guy, he was so doped up that they had to take him to the hospital, straight to the hospital to detox him.
And crazy.
And this priest, this wasn't his first time. He has overdosed twice in the past. And that was known to the church. And even though he has this history of major drug abuse, they were in the process of looking at promoting him to the rank of bishop just sometime in the next couple of months when this happened. So it was shocking. And to me, something about this, Mark, that was kind of made me roll my eyes at what they look at there, but technically, according to the law there in the Vatican, you're allowed to have same-sex relationships. That's not against the law, but drug use is. So, you know, maybe in a more secular place, you might expect that to be the kind of attitude that, oh, well, you can have the gay sex orgy, that's fine, but we got to draw the line at this drug use. But this is not any ordinary place. This is in the Vatican. This is the headquarters of the Catholic Church, where the hierarchy, the guy that was arrested, he serves as the secretary to one of the Pope's personal advisors, Cardinal Francesco I think it's pronounced Coach Palmerio, but he's the secretary to the Cardinal. So this guy is really high up there in rank.
Well, if it's okay for priests to be gay, then let me just quote a Bible passage, and I'd like to get your perspective on it. I've done this with other guests. It's just interesting to get their feedback on things, because, you know, whether you listen to a rabbi, a pastor, a priest, a life coach, a psychologist, I don't think any of these kind of leaders ought to be living a life that's depraved or illegal. And what's also important, I think, is are our organizations now, are we being logical and honest with ourselves? Because, well, it's Leviticus 20:13, and some say this is a mistranslation, but at least the way it's translated, and this is the NIV version, if a man has sexual relations with a man, as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They are to be put to death. Their own blood will be on their own heads. So have you ever talked about the people at your church and what their particular stance on this kind of thing is?
Yeah, I get that from time to time, folks who are trying to take things out of the Bible and twist it to the point that, I don't know, it just becomes confusion. But when you take the scriptures in the totality, in the message, all of the things that are taught related to sexual purity in general, even if we set aside that verse and the couple others that are specifically talking about homosexuality, set all that aside, in general, the standard in the scriptures is sexual purity, meaning no sexual relations outside of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the very first point, is it doesn't matter if you're heterosexual or homosexual, sex outside of the bounds of marriage is prohibited. But beyond that, God's plan in the scriptures is so clear. We don't have a single example in the scriptures of a homosexual couple that is that would give us the idea that this has ever been tolerated. I've got a couple of homosexual relatives. They know my position, my feeling on it. We have mutual respect for one another, but I don't compromise on my belief that sexual relations are between a married man and woman for the purpose of primarily for the purpose of procreation. And I don't know. People can take the Bible and pull out just a verse or two and or even point to the scriptures and say, well, the Bible doesn't address this issue. Well, the Bible doesn't specifically address a lot of issues that are, you know, current things that we face in society, but you still know from the spirit of the law how to govern yourself, because it's clear that sexual purity is important to God.
See, where I'm coming from is not so much. What I'm trying to say with all this is that you need to take a logical approach. I mean, if you're not Christian, fine. If you're, and I don't have any, you know, I have friends that are gay, and I am very respectful of them. I would never want to say anything demeaning or against them. You know, what they do is their opinion. But to me, a person needs to be logical. And if you follow a book that has a certain teaching that's clearly put in there, and you don't live that lifestyle, or you try, I don't know, to ignore it or whatever. To me, that's, I think we've gotten to the place in society where we're not logical anymore. We're just not making any sense. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I agree, Mark. We have become tolerant of hypocrisy.
Yes.
The Catholic Church has got more than enough members of the church, and even members of the priesthood, to raise to these positions of authority those who do maintain the standards of their doctrinal beliefs. There's no need to have these people that flagrantly disobey and violate some of the most basic tenets of the faith. You don't have to keep them in the hierarchy of the church. But see, that's part of the problem. an issue inside the church. There were actually forces even outside of the church that has worked to gain control of the vast resources of the Catholic Church, essentially by doing things like prostituting child sex slaves to members of the Vatican, and then using that evidence to blackmail the officials into compliance. This is nothing new. It's very deep. It's very bad. Other than the gay sex party that was going on, we've also got here in the news recently the issue of Cardinal George Pell, he's also a top advisor to the Pope. And he has recently had to take a leave of absence from his work. He's basically the Vatican's financial chief. And he has been brought back to Australia, which is where he's from, to face criminal charges against accusations of sexual assault. And what's shocking to me is that the Pope, current Pope, Pope Francis, is aware of a lot of these allegations, and yet he's not taking action against them. And that's very telling, because his words clearly indicate that he wants to change this. That's what his words say. He's been very clear about that. In fact, just back in, I think it was in December, he put out this big report, statement to the bishops of the church saying that we can't tolerate this kind of stuff anymore. And he declared what he called a zero tolerance policy for pedophilia, sex crimes against kids, and this other stuff among the clergy. And yet, people that have been revealed to be abusers, he doesn't. He grants clemency, or he just ignores it. Or he puts obstacles in the way of the various committees or commissions that are trying to take action. And that's concerning, and it suggests that, and this is, I guess, the conspiracy theorist in me coming out, but since his actions are so shockingly different from his rhetoric, it makes me think that there's some reason that he is not taking action. It's shocking how ineffective he has been.
Yes. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jake. I've listened to several documentaries. There's a whole group of documentaries about Cardinal Pell, and he himself has been, there are dozens and dozens of people that have come forward and told the stories where he's abused them. And he also had this weird, weird obsession for exposing himself, and which is another story. I won't get into all the details, but I've kind of left Solaris in the dust here. Solaris, I didn't mean to ignore you.
You're fine. No, I'm enjoying listening. That's fine.
Isn't this kind of bizarre and strange? What's going on?
It is, but it's not a surprise. And I think that what you were all touching on, too, is that you have to realize that the Vatican is a corporation. I mean, you're dealing with corruption out the wazoo. We can just throw religion out the window when it comes down to it, but they're wearing the religion as a mask for control and manipulation, if you ask me. And just by what you're telling me, this is disgusting. I mean, this is just nasty. And why these people aren't prosecuted, why is this Jesuit Pope allowed to continue on with this type of propaganda is my question. Why isn't he being stopped?
Well, this is a very good question that you asked, Solaris, and I want to ask Jake about this because you may not know the answer to this, and I need to do more study, but Pope Benedict was the previous pope, correct?
That's right.
They also, his real name was Ratzinger. And
correct.
Wasn't he, he's like stuck in the Vatican. Like if he leaves the Vatican, he could be arrested. I've heard rumors like that. Have you heard anything about that? He has charges against him. Some kind of charges, right?
Yeah, he's essentially a prisoner there in the Vatican in his own little apartment.
It's unbelievable. Do you remember? I don't remember what he's exactly accused of. He's probably guilty of so much. It's unbelievable.
Well, this is just a theory of mine based on circumstantial information. Cardinal, when he was still Cardinal Ratzinger, he was actually the head of this this department, the Congregation for the Doctrine and Faith, that's supposed to be investigating. And he actually did a really horrible job. He did not defrock. He did not do the things that were supposed to be done. In fact, you can go on YouTube and find where he got very angry and actually got a little physical with a reporter who challenged him on this. This is back again when he was still cardinal. He had been covering up a lot of these molestation cases. And so when it was ABC News correspondent Brian Ross, and so he went and just out on the street as Cardinal Ratzinger is walking to his car, he went and asked him about this. And Cardinal Ratzinger didn't like that he was being questioned, and so he actually hit. He strikes the hand of the reporter, which was, you know, very strange behavior from someone who was just getting ready to become the Pope. But what changed, though, was that after he did become the Pope, he gave this impassioned prayer back in, I think it was in 2005. This was an Easter Mass. And he gave this prayer in which he just laid it out clear. He said, in essence, Lord, our church is full of a cancer that is soiling the whole church, and it's pedophilia, and please help us deal with this. And after that, in 2013, he really went to town defrocking a lot of these priests. In fact, there were about 800 priests who had been guilty of either raping or molesting children who were defrocked. But it was at that point when he was suddenly compelled to step down. And what I wonder, I speculate, I don't know if it's correct, but I wonder if he had some change of heart after he became Pope, started dealing with the problem, and then the powers that be had him step down.
Well, that poses another question. I mean, who's higher than the Pope? Who are the real powers that be?
Oh, well, certainly the mafia has got a huge hand in the Vatican there.
You're probably right. I never thought about that. My goodness. Now, you've done some recent shows on Satanism on the rise in the U.S. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, yeah. And it's important to understand that a lot of these people that claim to be... you've got the people who are former nerds and geeks and goths and emos from high school, that people that, like me, that played Dungeons and Dragons and never grew up, and just they act out, they go to heavy metal concerts and do things and pretend like they're Satanists. Mostly they're just nerds. But then you've got the real Satanists, and these are people who don't usually wear it on their sleeve. They are people who don't even acknowledge that they're worshiping a guy with horns and a pitchfork. They don't think of it like that. But they do seek to obtain power and influence and wealth and all of the things that they're after by trying to appease what is essentially demons, dark entities that are beyond the veil that we can see, that can be satiated through, predominantly through the ritual abuse of children. The energy that's produced from horrifying, terrifying, and even molesting and raping and killing children is what they do. And we see this over and over and over coming out in more reports. It's, of course, those that are trying to cover up in the 80s. But it's just not true. These things are actually happening.
I never heard about the Satanic Panic.
Well, back in the 80s, there were a series of very high-profile cases involving ritualistic-type child abuse on a large scale. Some of them happened in daycares. Some of them, well, I was just down this past week as part of an investigation into a child trafficking ring down there. I went to an old neighborhood of mine that I lived in Miami called Country Walk. it was an upper middle class kind of neighborhood. I lived there as a kid until I was like 13 years old. Well, down the street, about half a mile or so from where my home was, there was the home that belonged to a guy named Frank Fuster. He and his wife, he had a 16-year-old bride from Honduras. Well, Frank didn't make enough money to actually live in that subdivision or in that neighborhood. He was a fairly poor person based on his vocation. He only made a little bit of money from installing mini blinds. And yet this guy not only could afford to live in that community, but he was also going on a regular basis to the bank, making deposits of $20,000 in cash at a time. So what turns out that was happening was that he and his wife were running an illegal daycare center for kids from the community. They had up to 50 children that they were babysitting during the time that they were operating it. Well, it started to come out that these children, independent of each other, started talking to their parents in ways that were gave the parents some clues that something wasn't right. The children were asking their mommies to touch them here and their daddies to kiss me down there. And it was, so they started investigating and found out that there was ritual abuse going on a mass scale. All told, by the time the trial was over, there were 30 kids that were found horrendous things. The Fusters were psychologically torturing them by cutting off the heads of birds and other things in front of the kids. What the Fusters were doing and where the man was making all this money from was he was recording child porn films there at the house through daycare service and selling them, and that's where his cash was coming from. So he's now serving, and eventually his wife turned against him, testified against him in court, admitted to everything. But in the process, the reason that it came to be known as Satanic Panic is that some groups were formed to basically say that all of it was just a lot of hysteria, Christian hysteria, that it wasn't real, that the psychologists involved in talking with the kids were just implanting all of these false memories. But the sheer number, along with the actual medical documentation of scarring and tissue damage and things like that to genitals and places on the children's body, it was clear that they were being abused. But still, these groups were formed. They were funded to basically try and discredit attention, because this was really catching on. People around the country were really starting to take a good close look at the safety of their kids. And so they came to call it the Satanic Panic in an attempt to basically discredit the whole thing and pretend like it didn't actually happen, that it was just all in the kids' heads.
So you travel around and research these kind of stories?
Yeah, I do. I sure do. What I do is I try to expose child trafficking rings. And so I do my own investigative work. I have people that contact me from, through my YouTube channel. People know that I'm working on various investigations. They feed me information. If I find that there's something there that I can research further, I do it. And if I get to the point where I feel like, well, I've got enough, now I need to actually get there and get it documented on camera, then I'll fly out to the location and try and get the information. For example, about 2 weeks ago, I was out in Hollywood. I live in North Carolina. I flew out to Hollywood because there's a traffic not only trafficking young girls into Eastern Europe, but they're also providing children for sex parties in Washington, D.C. And there was an attorney actually from Spain who used to be an attorney for the Spanish government, kind of like an assistant attorney general, who contacted me and gave me some of this intel. And I told her that I had been looking at this one person in particular at the U.S. State Department that kept coming up in my investigation. It was a Russian woman. And, well, this Spanish attorney happened to know some information because she had dealt with this person in the past with this trafficking network through Spain. And it turns out that what they had done is they had taken this Russian madam, young, very attractive woman, brought her into the United States. She ended up getting a job as a translator with the U.S. State Department, helping diplomats by day. But what they do is they host these parties for foreign dignitaries. I think they do it on K Street. But anyway, they host these parties for visiting diplomats, and they have a party, and then they have the after party. And in these after parties, where they bring it down to just a few of the people that they're trying to target specifically, they will either get them drunk, or they'll drop ecstasy in the drinks or whatever. And then the drugs get brought out, and then they bring out the kids. And I'm talking about like 12 to 14-year-olds who end up having sex with these dignitaries, photos are taken, and then they're compromised. Mm-hmm. And essentially what happens is the CIA says, well, at this point, you can either be destroyed with what we have, or you can go back, enjoy your job, and we'll give you some perks with the job, and you feed us some information now and then. Do us a favor here or there when we need it. And that's the deal. And so that's how they compromise people. And that's the same thing that they have done in the Vatican. And it's not just that the people in the Vatican are homosexual by nature. They're just like the reports say about what we know about this sex party with the drugs. That's what they do. They get the people doped up. They get them on drugs. Then they compromise them by either having them have sex with homosexuals or with children. They take photos, and then you've got them. And so they target these people at the top of the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, because that it really doesn't matter. You don't need to go after the people down at the bottom. They're not very helpful for the overall purposes. But if you can compromise the people at the top, who have control over the Vatican Bank and other resources, those are the ones you want to target. And so that's why we see these kinds of gay sex parties come out in the news from time to time. These are operations to compromise some of the people.
Solaris, any thoughts? Anything come to mind?
Only that we just need to get this stuff cleaned up. It's really disconcerting to hear all this stuff that's going on. It's been going on for so long, but I certainly appreciate the work you're doing, Jake, in exposing a lot of this information. It's well appreciated.
I enjoy doing the work. Of course, there's no money in it, but I'm fortunate that with this YouTube channel that I run, I do get enough donations from viewers. I get almost nothing from ads. They demonetize all my videos because of the content.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Once upon a time, back when I was really just covering politics, mm-hmm. geopolitics is what I used to cover primarily, things like Syria and Ukraine, things going on, CIA operations, and I was monetized. But when I started reporting on this child trafficking and things like that, essentially about three-fourths of my work has been demonetized, so I can't earn an income. It was supporting my family up until that point. But yeah. I have had a lot of viewers who are concerned about this type of thing. They're concerned about the welfare of children, and they have supported me some through Patreon. And it doesn't. I still have to do other work on the side to pay the bills, but it keeps me going. It allows me to continue doing the work, which I would want to do regardless, but it sure does help to be able to earn a little bit to pay the bills. And I've got 8 children myself, so
wow.
I've got a lot of mouths.
You know, you can make some money on YouTube. The thing that's a shame is, like what's happening in your case, you know, if you cover the really important stuff, they're just going to pull away. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm working on one video that I'll be posting in just a handful of days to show the comparison. What I do is I show internally my internal analytics, where you can see my videos, and you can actually see where YouTube has gone in and not only demonetized my videos where I talk about child trafficking rings, but also they reject my appeal to request to have the monetization reinstated. So I put that there next to me going around on YouTube to actual child porn networks where the people are basically pimping out their children on YouTube for money. And all of their stuff is totally monetized. And they've been some of these channels have been reported so many times, it's just obscene. And YouTube refuses to do anything about it. But they sure will target anyone who tries to speak out against that kind of thing. That's what's so shocking, is that they're not balanced in their approach. They specifically target channels like mine that try and expose this stuff while enabling other channels that are guilty of this garbage to continue.
That's just stunning. That's actually even a little depressing to hear. we've really come a long way in the wrong direction. Any comments?
No, we certainly have come a long way very fast, and I think we're picking up speed.
Yeah. How did this happen? It's almost like it's erupted. Like, you know, at first it was like the internet was open and free, and you know, people could express themselves, and now suddenly, I mean, they appear to be taking the freedom away. And you know, I had a lot of hope when Trump got elected, but I'm starting to wonder if they've threatened him, or he's kind of being controlled. I mean, what was the whole deal with him sending those missiles to the Syrian airport? That didn't make any sense to me.
Unusual, and I sometimes think that the deep state is operating on its own in many ways without even consulting the president. And at this point, the best he can do is jump in and try and manage it. Now, I didn't myself vote for Donald Trump. I do agree with some of his positions. I agree strongly with some of his positions. My problem with President Trump is that he's not, like you say, he's not actually doing the things that he said he was going to do. And that's the concern. And I don't know if that's so much because he doesn't want to, because it's not politically popular, or if it's because he would like to, but he can't, because he just has nobody on his side there in Washington, D.C., and he can't get anything done because he's so isolated. People look at it different ways, but in the end, the net result, whatever the reason is, the net result is things are not getting fixed. Not nearly at the pace that we anticipated with the election of President Trump.
I believe in the beginning he definitely did help the economy. Do you think that, what's the role of Israel in all this, in your opinion?
Oh boy, you're trying to get me lynched.
I'm just, you know, what? The thing
first
of it
you
is,
you got me talking about President Trump, now you want me to talk about Israel. You're trying to destroy me.
You know what's funny? What's really funny is, I'm completely non-controversial. I'm just interested in getting to the truth. And if you're interested in getting to the truth, all hell is going to break loose. And I've noticed this. Have you noticed that too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I have the distinction of having had the woman who is now the defense minister in Israel. Her name is Eilat Shaked. I did some videos on her back in 2014 after she said some very, very horrible things. She said, made some very horrible remarks, equated Palestinian mothers with snakes, all their children are snakes, and essentially was advocating for genocide of Palestinians. Uh-huh. And I thought, you know, it was just uncalled for. So I spoke out and I did some videos. Well, what I did not know at the time was that she actually has an army of online trolls. They're based in Israel, and she sicked them on me, and they came after my channel and almost wiped it out. They hit me with tons of totally false copyright infringement complaints, and It actually turned into a little bit. It at least started the early stages of a legal battle.
Wow.
But I was able to get them to back off. And so anyway, I'm no stranger to the controversy of being critical of Israel. And here's my thought on Israel. I'm kind of a Ron Paul type when it comes to foreign policy. I believe that we need to keep our noses out of the internal affairs of other countries. I don't believe that we should be giving taxpayer money to foreign nations in the form of welfare or military aid or whatever it may be, especially when our own economy, we have such a deficit and our own people are struggling the way that most Americans are financially. We should not be taxing the American people to send it to Israel in any form of welfare whatsoever. And we send tens of billions of dollars to them. So regardless of whether you are pro-Israel or against Israel, I'm pro-American first. I am an America first person. If people want to donate to Israel or to any other country, so be it. But pull out your checkbook and write them a check. Don't stick your hand in my back pocket and take money out of my account that I would be using to support my family with, because that's just an issue for me. Now, when it comes to geopolitics, there is no question that Israel is the source of more contention in the world probably than any other nation on earth. How one wants to interpret that is up to them, but it is true that the issue of Israel, the land settlements, the housing settlements that are being built, especially now up in the Golan Heights, which is land that was essentially stolen from Syria back during the 1967 Six-Day War. I don't know if you know this, there is not a single country in the entire world out of the hundreds of governments on planet Earth, not one of them, not even the United States government, recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Because it's not. It's not their land. They took it. And originally in 1948, the capital was supposed to be Tel Aviv. But after the 1967 Six-Day War, they seized Jerusalem from Jordan, and it's just been absolute anarchy ever since with their neighbors. And it continues to be a problem, and it's going to continue to be an explosive issue, especially when you look at the issue of Temple Mount and the politics of the religious issues going on up there. But the reason that Israel is holding on to the Golan Heights is, more than anything, it's about oil. The Golan Heights, they have discovered a massive amount of oil under the ground in the Golan Heights. They are collaborating with Americans, very prominent Americans, including Dick Cheney, among others, with this company called Genie Oil and Gas, to take the oil out of Syria for the benefit of both the Israelis that own this company, as well as their American neoconservative counterparts that are running the company in New Jersey. It's all about oil. It's almost always all about oil or some other natural resource.
Amazing. It's just amazing. Now, this is way off topic. Have you ever studied, or do you have any interest in World War II, Nazi Germany, Hitler, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I've got some interest in it.
Yeah,
a little bit of experience.
I guess I'm in the process of, in some ways, reevaluating what I've quote unquote learned about history, you know, originally. I came across some of the speeches of Hitler with subtitles in the English, and I came back with a very different perspective on Hitler, in that to me, he didn't seem like this raving lunatic shouting. Once you started to actually pay attention to the content of what he was saying, he was talking about the corruption of the bankers and how the elite ruled the world and et cetera, et cetera. In many ways, I think Hitler was way ahead of his time in some ways. Has your research led you into any of that?
Yeah, the problem with our interpretation of Hitler is that we think of Hitler in kind of in the way that we think of Santa Claus rather than the actual man Saint Nicholas. I mean, Santa Claus is so far removed from the real Saint Nick and what he actually did that there's barely a resemblance. And in a way, that's what we've done with Hitler. Now, I'm not defending Hitler, but I majored in history. That was my major in college, and so I have studied a whole lot. In fact, I'll tell you what really got me thinking about how much of the story of Germany and Nazism had been propagandized, and that is back in the early 2000s. I used to own a small antiquities business. I would buy and resell ancient artifacts and things that I came across. And for a while, I got into war memorabilia. And back then, you could buy on eBay all kinds of World War II artifacts. And so I got things from the French and the Americans and also from the Germans. Well, what came into my possession were some letters written from prisoners inside of Auschwitz. And, I had them translated and expecting to hear them saying some pretty horrible things. In fact, I still got one of these letters. I've shown it on my YouTube channel before. What they were talking about was that things were fine, things were pleasant. They were describing some of the activities they had going on. They had like a little orchestra. They were doing drama. They had like a drama club. They were doing plays. And it was very, very different from everything I had ever heard about Auschwitz. So that's what kind of got me thinking, maybe I don't have the story right. And that led me into really studying it. Adolf Hitler was very, very popular among the He was the most sought-after politician in Europe at the time. He was a celebrity. And a lot of American businessmen, a lot of British businessmen, including bankers and other corporations, they were pouring money into supporting Hitler and the Nazis. But then things got started. There was the geopolitics of it. And Hitler was someone who took a pretty hard stand, and he was willing to fight. And he fought, and sometimes it was questionable what he did. But then once the war got going all the way, full-flung war, then it got kind of ugly on both sides. Certainly there were concentration camps. No question there were concentration camps. Hundreds of thousands of people died in these concentration camps. But they were primarily work camps. A lot of the people that you see in these photos that are skinny and emaciated, it's largely, I hate to say it, but it's because the Allied forces bombed the railroad
Yes.
resupply lines and the German army couldn't get the food in to feed the prisoners. I
Exactly.
mean, that's why they were starving to death. The reason they had no hair was because they were brought in a very inhumane way in the railroad cars packed in there like sardines, but that transmitted lice and typhoid through the lice to other people. So they'd bring them in. First thing you do is have them stripped down, get rid of their clothes, shave their hair off. And so it looks barbaric, but it was meant to keep these people alive. They wanted them alive for the purpose of putting them to work, to use them, not to kill them. So, and there's also the issue of Dwight Eisenhower's concentration camps when he was over there as Allied commander. There were a lot of Germans, a whole lot of Germans who died in American or at least Allied concentration camps. So there was horrible stuff going on both sides. So I'm not, I think that he was very narcissistic, but he didn't have to be. I think that he got worse and worse as time went on, but he certainly is not that horrible, horrible, awful devil incarnate in the way that we present him to be. That's certainly not true. Historical record does not support that.
I could be wrong on this, but I just seem to remember Auschwitz also had like a soccer field or something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy. I mean, it's not like it is what you hear. The other thing that I've heard recently, and I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, I've always wondered why the Germans invaded Poland. And I recently heard that there were thousands of Germans that were being killed by the Poles at this time. Have your research ever led you into any of that?
Well, yeah, after World War One, what they did was they came, and Germany did not start World War One, but they were the party that took the blame for it. They joined in as an ally after the war had started. But in the end, because they were the war power at the time, Germany was the rising economic powerhouse in Europe, and it was a threat to the British government. And so World War One was essentially contrived to be able to go after Germany and reduce their economic power, put them back down, because they were a threat to the declining power of the British Empire. So that's what World War One was really about. But in the end, the Allies ended up just decimating the German economy, and they took tons of land, including a huge swath of land that later became part of what's called Poland. But they were ethnic Germans. These were German citizens living there. It was essentially as if, let's say, Russia comes over and attacks America and ends up taking the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even if they take the state of Florida, the people who live there are still Floridians. They're still, you know, ethnic nationality. They were Americans. They were U.S. citizens. But if you've got a large number of Russians living there and they're intermingling with the Americans and they start to essentially engage in genocide against the Americans, then what's the rest of the other 49 states where we still exist as a nation? Are we going to stand by and let our, you know, former American citizens be slaughtered like that? And that's what happened. Hitler said, we are not going to tolerate German citizens, people who were up until the end of World War One. These were German citizens. We're not going to allow our German people to be slaughtered like this. So he tried to resolve it different ways through diplomacy, and it didn't work. So militarily is what it turned to.
You know what's interesting about doing this kind of research is I find myself suddenly getting interested in these topics, and I don't know why. And I just study these, and then poof, it's like there's almost something guiding me through all of this. Have you ever noticed that in your own studies? Like, you're studying something just because it's interesting, but then like this whole panorama of new information opens up to you.
Yeah, it's like psychologist Carl Jung talked all the time about synchronicity, about the universal unconscious, and how there's this whole body of knowledge there that the mind can somehow tap into, and it acts as like a guide. From a Christian perspective, we might call that the Holy Ghost or something like that. But yes, you get into something, you start out as you're just interested, but then you realize, another to another, and before you know it, you just have this sense of like inner fulfillment that's coming from getting answers to things that you've kind of wondered about in the past. But yeah, it's a very enlightening process. On the extreme end of it, though, it can become something of a fanatical process. People do tend to, different people have different levels of, I don't want to say IQ, but for lack of a better word, I will say IQ. Different people will get into what you might call conspiracy theory, and take it too far, or at least not know when to set aside those things that are junk, that are not true. and they get obsessive about something, some point that is of just for some reason incredible consequence to them, but they get so deep into it and they don't even know why, and they lose themselves, and it's like getting lost in a black hole. So the process of awakening, of having these synchronicities and gaining this new knowledge, it is a good thing. It wakes you up to how the world really is. It's like waking up and realizing that you've been in the Matrix all along and that the real world is something very different.
Oh, yeah.
But if you take it too far, you can get yourself into a little trouble. So you do have to be balanced. I tell my kids, my older kids that are in high school, they know I'm into some of this stuff, and they want to get into it a little bit too and study some. And what I do with them is encourage them to disconnect from the, you know, get into this if you want, study some, but set the computer aside, put your, you know, smartphone down, get out in the real world, stay connected to nature.
Yes.
And real people. To stay grounded, because if you don't, your mind just can turn to mush, and if you get absorbed into this virtual world, because not everything out there is true. There's a lot of bad information that people end up believing in.
The interesting thing about Germany, and then we'll get off this topic, it was a really great side tangent, is the engineering. I mean, the Tiger tank, the King Tiger tank, the ME-262, the first jet fighter, the Focke-Wulf Wolf was a great piston engine fighter. I mean, that one little country had breakthroughs in engineering that's just phenomenal. It makes me sad that they were almost wiped out in this way. If we could have somehow avoided World War II, I think we would be in a whole new renaissance of learning. At least that's what I've thought of before. Have you ever looked at it in those terms?
I haven't thought of it like that so much as just, yes, the world would be a very different place for sure. But that was the threat that the British Empire saw, was Germany was on the ascent. They were rising. They did have a lot of scientists and engineers and very, very smart, intelligent people, and the economy was thriving. And in the end, that's why we stole all their scientists. That's why we brought them all to America, because they were the best.
Well, Jake, I want to thank you for coming on. And this is the time of the show where you get to advertise your website. And have you written a book yet or anything like that?
I've got 3 or 4 unfinished manuscripts. I'm a starter, but I haven't finished them. So I need to get them finished.
Writing a book is hard work, isn't it?
I'm a perfectionist. I basically have got 2 of them done. I just, what I need is just someone to come along and take them out of my hands and just publish it against my will, because the perfectionist in me hesitates to do that. But if anyone wants to check out the work that I do, probably the best place to go to is my YouTube channel. And that's just youtube.com/prepare333. So it's youtube.com/prepare333.
And if they put your name in, Jake Morfonius, you can also get a lot of your videos that way as well.
Yeah, sure can. Nobody can spell my name. Morphonios. You can put in Jake Morfonios, or you can type in End Times News Report Channel and find me that way as well.
And Solaris, I think you ought to get this guy on your shows.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, indeed. And thank you.
Right. Well, I'm glad we've had this discussion tonight. It's always a pleasure, Jake. And Solaris, it's always great to touch base with you as well. And we'll get this show up. Either it'll be on my Blog Talk channel either Sunday or Monday. And it's great talking to all you guys. Have a great evening.
Hey, it was great talking with you, Mark. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.